This next guy is a really interesting individual that I know for a friend. So I started listening to his podcast and watching him on YouTube about a year ago, probably a little bit more. And he posts on Instagram. I thought it was good to get him on the show to talk about motivation, his pursuit for success, being a business, being in the business of art, and his training and daily routine. Without further ado, please welcome co-founder of Woodbury House, Minboso.
Minboso, yeah.
Yeah, Minboso, and host of Stephen Sully Study. Stephen, how are you, man?
I'm very good, thank you very very much. Thank you for having me on board.
So how do you motivate and self... You're a motivated, self-driven individual with a passion for success. How do you keep yourself... how did you get to where you are now? Because obviously, I think motivate people, they've either got it in them or they haven't. Sometimes you need to nurture it, and others are just born into it, and then they just see their mentors or father or uncle in the business, and they just take it, you know, they just start learning from there. So how did you get into this self-driven, motivated state, if you like, for success?
I certainly do agree that I think some people are naturally driven, and other people are a little bit more relaxed about, you know, their circumstances. And either one of those, it doesn't make one person better than the other. It's just what we call life. You know, some people just the way they are, and others are not. However, I do feel that if you take someone that is not driven and you put them into a different scenario, it can awake certain characteristics within them that they didn't even know that they had or possessed. I certainly think that it comes down to comfort zones, and also about being around certain individuals. Now, if you're like, I'm not knocking anyone that does this, okay? Again, there's no right and wrong to life.
But yeah, of course, yeah.
If you're, I don't know, getting up and you're reading the Sun newspaper, you know, you're watching EastEnders, or I call Dead Enders, or, you know, you're going into, you're eating McDonald's every single day. That's part of your routine. You don't train. You don't read books. You don't listen to podcasts. You're going to a Wetherspoons pub for your night out, and you're affiliated with that kind of demographic. You're going to just become like that demographic. You're not going to you're not going to feel healthy. Your mind's not going to be healthy. You're going to read stuff that is not going to push you as an individual, and you're going to probably have conversations in that circle where, you know, it might not be so motivating. However, if you take yourself out of that circle and put yourself in, you know, a rich environment, and I don't just mean financially, I mean people that like to better themselves, they train, they eat healthy, they might be business-driven or career-driven, they might be well-travelled, your mind starts to open up, and your mind is very much like a parachute. You know, if you don't take the jump and you don't open up your mind, then you'll never truly know what you're capable of. And like, I try and like, even we spoke about Ozzy before, you know, I try and put myself around people like him, because the guy thinks a certain way, the guy works a certain way, the guy is, you know, got a massive empire, and that's just one person. You know, I like to. You know, I do boxing, and what I love about boxing is it doesn't matter about your background, it doesn't matter about your gender, it doesn't matter about your race or your beliefs or, you know, or your experiences. The good thing about boxing is it's an equalizer. And what I mean by that is, the moment you get into the ring or get into a sparring or fighting scenario, all the other stuff doesn't matter. What matters about, you know, how much you want it and how hard you've been working, and you're starting to get found out how hard you've been working inside the ring if you haven't put that graft in. And life is a bit like that. If you don't put all the graft in, and if you don't really want it, you get found out at some point.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. So I guess, so investing in yourself, what did you mean by that? Because you put on a post on Instagram a few weeks ago now, that you were saying something about investing in yourself. So how do you invest in yourself?
I think training is a big part of what I do day to day. I like, obviously, to be fit. I'm in sales. In actual fact, everyone's in sales. You're in sales. You know, your mother, two children's in sales. You know, your dad's in sales, even if they don't realise it or even believe it, because everything is about the, you know, is about effective communication and getting your point across and influencing people around you. Like, I've got a two-year-old son, and no doubt you're obviously got children as well.
Yeah, he's four this Sunday. Yeah,
we influence our children, and the way we influence them is by trying to sell them. We don't call it sales, but that's what it is.
Yeah, 100%.
So the definition of a sale is the transfer of enthusiasm. So if you're enthusiastic towards a point or a belief, you transfer that over by using facts, data, and your tonality, and therefore people buy into that. So anyway. Training allows you to feel better about yourself. Therefore, you can transfer more enthusiasm. So I train to feel good and also to transfer that enthusiasm. But also, it's good for your mentality, because we all go through challenges day to day. And if we're feeling a bit stressed, a bit challenged, a bit, you know, suffer from a little bit of anxiety, the way you can overcome that or certainly bring it down is by training. So it releases a lot of, let's say, what we call stress day to day.
Yeah. What does stress you then? Because I can't see much stress in you, to be fair. Give me a scenario where you get a little bit stressed. It could be just you're late for a meeting. It could be your kids playing up and you've got to get out the door for work. What stresses you out?
Well, I think there's a difference between stress and feeling pressured. And they actually feel like the same thing, but we as individuals label what we're feeling, and one of them gives you empowerment and one of them gives you problems. So we could both go into a scenario and one of us might say, I feel stressed right now. And basically you're labeling a feeling, and because your language patterns are saying, I feel stressed, and therefore you might start to become a bit frantic. Whereas somebody else might go, well, I feel a bit pressured. Now, I think feeling pressure means you understand that you're facing a bit of challenges and you're feeling a bit of pressure, but you're in control. Now, look, listen, we do all flutter between pressure and stress, etc. So I try and label everything as more pressure. I feel that, I feel it right now. Like today, I've come into work and I was, you know, reading certain data that I need to read day to day in order to prepare me for the day of the week, and I feel like I haven't done enough this week, and that's made me feel a bit pressurized. You know, I feel
right. So you say it's pressure on yourself. You're putting it's almost like you're putting pressure on yourself because you've got this target. You haven't met the target, so now you feel like you've let yourself down. Maybe
self-critical. Yeah, very self-critical.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hugely self-critical as well. So how do you keep motivated then? How do you keep the momentum up? Because like there's days, like for example, I'll give you an example. These podcasts, you're about the 20th one, for example.
Okay.
I always get nervous just before, I'll be honest, I do get nervous. Some guests make me more nervous than others. You're at the lower end because I know you and you're a nice guy and I've seen you on Instagram. I feel like I know you already.
Yeah.
There's days where I get up and I think, you know what, I can't be bothered with it today. I can't be asked to do anything today. I'm just going to play with my little boy and chill out, cook some food, chill out with the missus, and just that's it. And then other days I'm like 100 mile an hour trying to get stuff done. I've got my to-do list out and all this. And how do you keep motivated, and do you struggle sometimes?
Yeah, listen, I think if anyone tells you they don't struggle to a certain level, whether that's emotionally, mentally, physically, sometimes they're just fucking lying. No one's superwoman or superman.
Even the queen struggles.
Yeah, listen, everyone's gonna have their dips. But the reality is this: like, I feel that emotions and self chat, which is your mind talking to yourself, that's going to happen. But I feel that the way you condition yourself is just carrying on anyway. You know, what is it? What, fear, the acronym of it is face everything and rise rather than fear everything and run. And, you know, it's again, like you're going to feel something, but just ignore it and just carry on. Like, if you don't feel like doing something, just do something, because at least you move forward a little bit further ahead. And I feel that's what the gym does for you. Like the gym, even when you don't feel like doing something, they just do a little bit, because then you tell your mind you're in control of your mind rather than the mind in control of you.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a little bit of addictive personality, right? And what I mean by that is, so I train a lot for a long period of time, and then I would train for a week, and I'll just drink Coca-Cola for a week. And I know it's wrong, and me and Serkan have spoken about this before, and you know, it's just the way I am. And I think what I'm trying to do at the moment is I'm trying to build the gym downstairs underneath the house. So I've probably said this several times before on all my podcasts. I won't go into it too much, but I've got a 4-car garage under the house, so it's big enough for a gym. I saw you on Instagram a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking, where's this dude going to the gym, man? Like, he's going to the gym. He's got a screen on the TV. He's got a screen on the wall, and he's got. I think I saw you. You had some people there or something as well.
Yeah, but
obviously at social distance, obviously. And it's really good to see that you think that way, and occasionally I do think that way myself. Not every day. Not every day. So it's like, for example, I've got a younger brother. He went to prison. I'm sure he don't mind me saying this on here. We can edit it out if he prefers. But he didn't work until 7 years ago. Okay. He's 37. So for the best part of 30 years, he didn't work, right? He went to prison. He came out in his early 20s, and he was just poncing off people, and just being a prat, really, to be honest. And me being 8 years older than him, I was after him all the time, trying to sort him out, trying to stop him from doing bad stuff. And then all of a sudden, he found his passion. His passion is cranes.
Right.
He just bubbles over cranes. When he sees a crane, we're driving through King's Road, Chelsea. We're going out for a drink. This is last year. We're going for a drink. Oh, bro, you see that crane? It does this, it does that. Safe working load. I'm like, are you serious? We're on a night out and you want to talk to me about cranes? Are you joking? Mm-hmm. But he's now earning more money than I am. Now, think about this for a minute. I went to university over 20 years ago with Serkan. I've been working for 25 years in the industry, aerospace, aircraft industry. He hasn't got a degree, he hasn't got anything apart from a crane license, and he's earning more money than me.
Yeah.
And last year he bought an E63S AMG.
Nice.
I went to my mum and I said, Mum, how's this happened? Tell me how this happened. I'm happy for him, but tell me how this has happened. She said, what do you mean? I said, how is he earning more than me? He's only been working 6 years. And he's got an AMG. I'm the car man, not him. You understand? So, but at the same time, I'm happy for him. You know, he's turned his life around, because I mean, he was doing a lot of drugs as well.
Wow.
You know, and I'm not cussing people that do drugs, but I've never done it. So If I took a little bit of cocaine, for example, I'd probably carry on doing it, because I'm addictive. I like to do things again and again and again. But that's when I realized that you're either born with motivation and self-success or you're not. I mean, like, if you look at like some of the guys you knock about with, they're all successful businessmen. I mean, you know, Serkan tells me now and again, you know, he's got this and he's done this, got this Lamborghini and that car and this Rolls Royce. And you think, could I ever be on that level? Could I ever, you know, because you can think like them, but if you haven't got the money, you need money to make money. That's my, I don't know whether you think that, but I do think you need money to make money. You can't, even Richard Branson, for example, yeah, he had a loan from, was it his dad or his mum or his auntie? So, somebody loaned him money before he started Virgin Records all those years ago. If no one lent him money, he probably wouldn't have started the business, I don't think. You know, so it's kind of it's an interesting topic, and I just wanted to bring you on here just to talk about this, because obviously I've seen all your guests, I've seen how your mindset is. I've seen you getting up at, was it 5:01 you said you get up?
Yeah, so my boxing gym opens at 6, and obviously in normal times, I will be down there for 6. I get up at 5:01.
Is there anyone else there?
Well, my boxing trainer. There's another boxing trainer. There's my business partner and another guy. There's probably about 5 or 6 people down there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Blimey, man. And are these guys that want to be professionals? Are these guys?
There's a mix. There are professionals down there anyway.
Yeah.
What you call, like, I'm a Queensbury fighter, so there's no such thing as semi-pro boxing, really, but if you were to class Queensbury boxers, it's kind of like semi-pro. And then there's just business people down there just keeping fit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Off the cuff, who do you think? Manny Pacquiao or Conor McGregor? Who's going to win that?
The boxing match?
Yeah.
Easily Pacquiao.
Yeah. I know you like all that sort of stuff as well. So
yeah.
But I keep as you're talking, I keep remembering more questions I want to ask you, and then they go.
Yeah.
And then I start talking shit.
So you're talking about business, about, like, you know, money makes money, and the belief system.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've tried a few things in my life, and, you know, I'm a designer by trade. So I'll think of a product, I'll design it, I'll get it made. I know where to get stuff made and manufactured and, you know, in factories. It's in the garage, it hasn't sold. Now, part of that's down to my motivation starts higher and then dips. My wife says to me, you never finish anything, anything that I start. So my biggest claim, I suppose, is I designed a table once with LED lights in it and stuff, and I won't bore you with the details, but I got it into a shop in Kings Road, which was a really, I mean, Kings Road is one of my favourite places in the world to hang out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got it into a shop there, and I was really pleased. It didn't sell.
Yeah.
But I'm not a salesman, so I don't know if I was doing something wrong. Or you know, but it's just, at least I'm trying, and I'm not just sitting on my hands and just going, oh, you know, and making excuses, and then just trying to, I don't know, trying to, you know, do stuff, but not doing it. Actually, being a doer, and not just saying, oh, I want to do that one day.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that I know, they speak about stuff, they never do it.
Yeah.
So as soon as I speak about something, I'm going to do it. I mean, I definitely believe in getting uncomfortable and being comfortable with being uncomfortable, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I know Joe Rogan and David Goggins, definitely David Goggins speaks about that a lot, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not a runner. So when I do run, I feel a lot of pain in my legs. Right. Now, I don't know whether that's a problem with my physical state, you know, whether it's something's out of line, or my back needs a bit strengthening up, or I need to do more squats or something like that. But I do watch David Goggins videos when I'm running, and you know how have you seen these videos where he starts swearing and telling you to dig deep, things like that. So I watch that to keep going, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you're the same, but I do struggle with running and keeping up that sort of style of training quite regularly. So
Yeah, I mean, I would run is not my favourite thing to do, but I do it at least once a week. I go to tomorrow. I'll be going to Box Hill, which is in Surrey,
and I run up. I see you all the time. Yeah,
run up the hill at least 4 or 5 times. Well, it depends. 3 to 5 times typically.
Yeah.
I think it's 0.8 miles up, and it's super steep. So you get the fresh air, you're out in the morning, it's very, very difficult. Sometimes it's been snowing, it's been raining, it's freezing cold, but you do it because it's, you know, like what you put out, like I do believe in what you put out to the universe, you're going to get back. So, you know, if you fight the elements and you do what other people are not doing, I feel that opportunity comes towards you. I feel like you get healthier because of it. I feel like you become tougher mentally and physically and let's say emotionally. And I just think you know you're projecting to the world that I'm willing to do what others are not willing to do. I'm willing to get up early on a Saturday morning and, you know, travel 45 minutes away from my house, run up these hills with other like-minded people. I'm not going to get money for it. I'm not going to get a trophy for it, but I know that I'm going to benefit from it somehow.
Yeah. So do you actually feel tired during the day then in that day? Like, do you actually feel
later
bit
on
knackered in you? Yeah.
Look, I'm pretty fit, so I might get a little dip every so often. Now, obviously, I train most days of the week. So, like, today, this morning, I did have a day off. Tomorrow, I've got the Box Hill running, and Sunday, I've got a circuit. So, listen, I will feel tired at certain pockets in the day. But I feel if I keep myself moving and keep myself motivated up on my feet, you know, I can delay that fatigueness until when I get home.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can't. Sometimes you do crash and you've just got to persevere. You've got to get through it and be a bit tough.
Yeah, because your diet's on point as well, though, isn't it? I've seen you doing cold pressing quite a bit.
I have cold presses in the morning. That's my breakfast. I don't eat any solids until about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And even then, I mean, today I'll have a vegetable soup. I'll have fruit. I might have some olives and a raw coconut water, and that's my lunch.
Wow! So are you vegetarian?
Pescatarian. So I'll eat fish probably only twice a week at that, if that. But rest of the time it's veg, fruit, some kind of grains, that kind of stuff.
Because I was diagnosed with lupus a few years ago. Do you know what lupus is?
No.
So lupus is an autoimmune disease. So your immune system thinks that there's a flu or a cold coming and it ramps up and then there's nothing there to kill off because nothing is there. So your body starts to get swollen and irritated and your joints start swelling up and stuff and you feel really tired and really fatigued. Now, I probably had the minor, the minimal lupus strength because I've read online people can't even get out of bed in the mornings and they're super tired, but now they're saying that all my blood test results are normal and I feel a little bit better, although I have looked at doing cold pressing and doing a vegetarian or pescatarian diet to see if I can up my strength and up my immune system, because there's this argument, isn't there, at the moment, as too much meat is bad for you, but then Joe Rogan talks about if you hunt your own meat and you catch it, you know it hasn't been processed, it hasn't had all the water pumped into it and all the chemicals. So I'm kind of, what do you think of the diet situation? Because obviously I know you're, I mean, have you heard of Ben Greenfield, for example?
Ben Greenfield, I think I have, yeah, rings a bell.
Very, very, he basically biohacks his own body. He's an interesting individual. If you haven't heard of him or you haven't, go and have a look at him. He does a lot of cold pressing as well. But
yeah.
So how do you think it benefits you then? Like what?
Well, so So I became pescatarian over two years ago now, like two years and 1 month. And I feel much better because of it. I've done it for two reasons. The first reason is when I was tucking into a steak at a restaurant or somewhere like that, I started to feel bad, like mentally, I was thinking, I don't feel this is right. I don't feel that killing a cow or a lamb or a chicken. Why should an animal be sacrificed so I can eat it? Yeah. Now I'm going to say this right now. I'm a hypocrite because there's probably loads of other stuff that I do that I don't even realize that is an animal's been sacrificed, including fishes. But for some reason, I can almost deal with a fish being killed and me eating. But when it comes down to a cow, a lamb, a chicken, they seem to have more personality. And I feel bad because of that. And I used to have to consume a bit more wine almost to feel tipsy or drunk in order to consume it. And I said, well, this is a calling, isn't it? This is a natural calling for me to stop. But then looking at the science behind it, and again, I've had many, many debates with people about this. Food is a bit like two things I'm going to connect it to. It's a bit like a religion and it's a bit like a drug. Now, if you tell someone that what you believe in is actually not correct and it's false or it's been misconstrued, you try and tell that to someone that has a dying belief in a religion, they are going to take massive offense to it, right? And you tell someone that is addicted to a drug to come off of it, it's very, very difficult.
I know,
And we consume foods that, first and foremost, when I say to someone, what you're eating tonight, here's what they would say. Oh, this is what I fancy. What do they mean by fancy? Well, what they're saying is, what tastes the best, yeah? We're not health-led, we're taste-led, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
We will go to something that tastes good, not that is healthy. Now, I can tell you this, when I consume my cold press in the morning, if I were to tell you what's in it, I don't necessarily enjoy it. In actual fact, sometimes I don't really fancy this morning. Yeah. But the reason why I consume it is because I'm health led on that particular thing. I know it's very, very good for me. Now let's look at diseases, heart attacks, strokes. You can argue Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cancer is all related to the same thing. The reason why we get all of these diseases. Okay, you don't catch these diseases. Let's remember, you don't catch the disease. You develop the disease. So the way you develop it is because of what your body's consuming. Now, that's partly because of pollution. So the biggest organ in your body is your skin. And I'm led to believe whatever you put on your skin through education, people that I've interviewed, and also things that I've read that your skin absorbs whatever you put onto it within about 15 seconds. So even that aftershave, even that deodorant, even that hair products that you put onto your head, your skin will absorb that. And where does it go? It goes into your blood, okay? So when you're doing that day to day, like when people say, oh, a little bit won't hurt me, correct, a little bit won't hurt you. But if you're doing it every single day, well, that little bit turns into a lot, okay?
Yeah.
And then if you're eating certain foods that are acidic, so let's say a lump of meat is 100% acidic, especially red meat.
Is this natural meat? Or so organic meat is the same? Or we just say meat?
Meat. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. Pumped up steroid factory led meat is worse than your organic meat, which is grass fed, and they're roaming the fields. Two different things, but ultimately they're both meat, and your body needs to form a lot of mucus to break down that meat. Now, too much mucus in the body leads to inflammation, and inflammation leads to problems. That's the absolute fact. Now, I believe that you can consume meat, but I feel that you need to minimize it. Again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, but I have interviewed doctors and I have interviewed nutritionists.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah, yeah.
And all roads lead to the same thing. You can consume it, right? But you need to minimize it. You need to minimize it to, you know, when people say, oh, I have a balanced diet. Well, what's balanced diet? Tell me what your balanced diet is, because I feel that if you're eating meat in the morning with your breakfast, you're eating it in the afternoon and you're eating it of an evening, but you're having it with a potato and some veg and you're calling it a balanced diet. I do not believe that's a balanced diet at all. I feel that is unbalanced. And I feel that when you do develop a problem like cancer, it's not, oh, you know, it's the way it is. And, I'm unlucky. It's not. You've actually created it in your own body because of all the acidicness. Now, if I have this conversation with most people, they will become irritated. They will defend. Yeah. They will justify. They would argue their point. But for me, the reality is, if you're eating mucus forming foods, it's going to turn into problems later on. So part of the reason why I do cold pressing is because it's on the opposite end of the spectrum. It's only fruit and predominantly leafy greens in that cold press. It's raw, so it's not been heated up. If you look at any foods that you heat up, that also can turn into acidicness. So I try and eat things which are wholesome, which are grown and consumed the way they're meant to be consumed, rather than rechanging their state or their form, and therefore your body may not find it as compatible to consume.
Yeah. No, it's good though, because I guess I need to change my diet. I do need to stop drinking Coke, for example. I mean, I'm not an alcohol lover, so I don't drink much. I only drink maybe once a year, twice a year. But I do need to look at my whole diet and change it. Just to see if I can feel a little bit better. I mean, generally these days I feel a lot better than I did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And even if I'm in pain in my joints and stuff, I still train. I put on a David Goggins video or a motivational gym video. The Rock's a good one. He's a good one to look at. He's in the gym at 4 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
Just watch those. Train, it's only half an hour. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger says, what does he say? 24 hours in a day, you sleep six.
Yeah.
He says, what are you doing for the next 19 hours?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm thinking, and my wife says to me, well, we sleep for 7 hours, minimum seven, so maximum 7 hours. So that leaves, what, 16 hours? No, 17 hours. 17 hours. So you work for 10 hours a day, which is what I normally do, 10 hours. I drive 3 hours a day to go and come back from work. You know, that doesn't leave a lot of time, but at the same time, half an hour a day, it's better than nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm always listening to these people and I think, yeah, it's easy for him because he's got a maid looking after the children, you know. He's got a chef making his food for him in the morning. You know what I mean? So we can balance it and make it kind of almost, you know, everyone's different. What I'm trying to say is everyone's different, and just find your rhythm, your you know, and just keep going and keep digging deep until you come out the other side and hopefully, you know, you're better off in the long run. So I wanted to talk to you about the art, really. I'm an art fan myself.
Right.
If I wanted to invest in art, and I didn't want to spend 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 grand, who at the moment in the art scene is a good one to kind of invest in for now? Who do you look at?
I could look, So I, first and foremost, I'm not an art expert. I've just found myself from 2014 in the art space, but I only really focus on one demographic and one particular artist. That's street art, and that's a guy called Richard Hambleton. The reason being is because he's known as the Godfather of street art. He's been dubbed that by the New York Times. And basically, three of them started the movement, the genre of street art, back in the 70s and 80s. That was Jean-Michel Basquiat, Keith Haring, and also Richard Hambleton. Two of those gentlemen had died very, very young, one at 28 years of age, which was Jean-Michel Basquiat, one at 33 years of age, which was Haring. But ever since they've died, their market has gone up. They do say sometimes the best career move an artist can make is when an artist pops their clogs and passes away, because obviously the supplier gets capped, the demand keeps on going up, and so does the value. Richard Hambleton survived up until 2017 when he passed away. So now he's died, the market is gaining momentum, and prices are going up. But my let's say, mentor, someone that was guiding me in the art market, said that if you want to determine who's going to be a good investment grade artist, it comes down to three things. Number one is the artist backed by a recognised gallery. Number two is the artist backed by a recognised art dealer, art family, art collector. And number three is the artist backed by a recognised museum. And if you got answer to all three, yes, then it's going to be a solid investment. If it's two, it's going to be less. One, less, and obviously none. Doesn't make the artist not investment grade. It just means that it's more of a high risk.
Okay. Yeah. So what's the minimum I would invest in a Hambleton then?
Well, I mean, we always say that if you're going to invest into original, you've got to be thinking anything between £25,000 upwards. If you're going to invest into a limited edition, you're talking about £10,000.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And a limited edition, what I would have thought that would be more money than the...
No. So an original is an original on canvas or paper, so it's painted on it, and then a limited edition, or as known as a print, is is essentially a copy which is authorized by the artist's estate, and they make a limited edition run. So they might make out of one image a run of 50, and you can collect those, and they are investment as well.
So they are investments, are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds interesting.
Well, let me put it like this to you. 2 days ago in auction, bearing in mind we're in coronavirus, we're in lockdown, we are in official recession, Banksy, one of his limited edition prints in auction, sold for $180,000. It was unsigned and it was a run of 650. So it wasn't a rare piece. It wasn't an exclusive piece. It was a limited edition by Banksy, and it sold for $180,000 in auction.
Wow! Really? Okay. Yeah, because I was gonna start investing in classic cars, but all the classic cars I've had, they haven't done too well on the profit scene. I had a Porsche 924 last year. Sold it, but I didn't lose any money on it. I kind of bought it for this, and I sold it for this, and it was zero basically. So there was nothing owed, nothing, no problem. But I did buy it as an investment. It was one of 1,000 limited edition, but it didn't really do too well when I come to sell it. So I might invest in art. You know, I might start investing. I do like art, and I said to my missus the other day, I said, when we look at art, you probably leave the building when I say this to you now. She likes to buy Next art.
Next,
yeah. She goes to Next.
Oh, right.
She loves that sort of art.
Okay.
And I keep saying to her, listen, that's not art. We need to start buying proper art. You know? Whatever it is, I like those two in the background there, for example. Those two paintings you've got there.
Yeah.
Behind you. Are they Hamilton's?
Yeah, so this is owned by a client of mine. This is an original on canvas. I mean, this one here, I mean, if you were to buy that now, that would be something like £160,000.
Bloody hell.
And this one, you know, is not too far away from that. So,
wow.
You know, they're originals, and you know, they're good quality investment pieces.
Yeah. So, mate, where do you? I'm going to start to wind this down now. Where do you think you're heading in the business world, and what do you want to achieve?
I believe in setting goals. I believe in affirmations, and I believe in incantations. And an affirmation is something personal, positive, and present. So I write down my affirmations every single day, and then I read them out as an incantation. I write down every single day, I'm the best version of me, and I'm going to become a billionaire. And whether or not I do truly become a billionaire or not, for the simple fact that I've got my mindset on that journey, I believe that great opportunities will come towards me. Let's go back to what you were saying earlier. Yes, making money is, you know, having money to make money, there is a lot of truth in that. But what really makes money is your resourcefulness, being resourceful. It's not money. Mm. Like today, if everything was stripped away from me, I would need a phone book, a phone, and I would raise money. I wouldn't need money. Don't get me wrong. Once I've got money, I will invest it into assets that make me money. I would invest into certain things to making money easier. But the reality is resourcefulness, being resourceful, makes you... I'll give you an example. When people say, oh, it's lockdown and I can't get fit because of that, because I can't go to the gym, I'm going to be honest and blunt, that's a weak mentality. I go outside, go for a run, or I pick up a skipping rope. Everyone can invest into a skipping rope. And I will do skipping rope circuits, which involve only my body weight and only a skipping rope. And by the end of it, I am absolutely battered. And I'm going to get fit because of that. Now, obviously, you know, once I can go back to the gym, I've got money to build a gym. Obviously, I can do other stuff. You know, money gives you options. But the reality is you need to be resourceful. And, you know, there are plenty of people that, you know, I'll give you an example. I interviewed a guy called Alfie Best. Now, he is a traveler. And he owns the largest largest park home, static home business in Europe. He was born on the side of the road in a caravan.
Wow.
And he's now worth 400 million.
Well,
so no one can tell me that he had any handouts. He didn't. He just found the way. You need to be resourceful.
Yeah.
And having limiting beliefs like, oh, that person is lucky or that person got a handout. Look, some people do, but majority of the time, people find a way to become a success.
Yeah. I do think that. I guess, look, bottom line is if you've got a roadmap or you've got some sort of a... I mean, I've got walls here that I can probably put a success map there on the wall and say, this is where I want to be in 5 years time or 6 years time, you know, and this is how I'm going to get to it. You do need a little bit of luck, I think, as well, in business.
Yeah, listen, there is something called luck. And as we well know, the definition of it is when opportunity meets preparation. You know, when you're prepared and an opportunity comes up, you can take it. A lot of people do get opportunities that go buy them all the time and they slip through their fingers because number one, they're not aware of the opportunity, or even if they are, they're not prepared for it. And they seem to mess it up because they're just not prepared. I feel again, investing into yourself makes you prepared. You know, listening to the right people, being around right people, training, eating right, you become a lot more prepared. So when it is your time to step up to the plate, you know, you've got all the minerals to take that opportunity.
Yeah. So will you ever retire?
No.
No.
ever.
keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, mate. All right. Well, look, mate. There's so many other questions that I wanted to ask you. Some of them have slipped my mind, and some of them are just kind of we haven't got the time for. Because where are we now? We're kind of
10:30 roughly.
Yeah. We're already 40-50 minutes in, so I don't want to keep you too much longer. Tell people where they can find you and your social media links, please, mate.
Stephen.Sully is my Instagram. My podcast is the Stephen Sully Stubby. That's on YouTube as well as iTunes. Facebook is the same. Yeah, that's basically where you can find me. But more importantly, if they wanted to know a bit more about Richard Hambleton and invested in Richard Hambleton's artwork, you can find us at Woodbury House. This is the name of my company. We're based in Soho, so you can either go to our social media channels, our website, or contact me via my social media.
Okay. And Minboso, are you part of that as well?
Minboso is a wellness platform. If you go to Minboso on Instagram, you can find the link to the app and find some of my content on there.
Okay. Well, mate, it's been really insightful talking to you and seeing how you're pursuing success, climbing the ladder. I've actually seen you over the last year and a half probably get better and better podcasting and as a human being. I think you're a great person, mate. Hopefully we can meet up in the future, and possibly I might come to those training sessions you boys all do down in Farnborough way or something like that.
Yeah,
you boys all train together outside, so that'd be quite good if I can do that this hopefully summertime. We'll be out of this COVID situation and we can all get together and train.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, been a pleasure, mate, honestly.
Thank you for your time.
Don't forget to follow, subscribe, and comment on the Stephen Sully Study, and also follow Full Throttle with Dervish. At the usual, if you go to Instagram, you've got all the links there and everything. So just go and find us. All right, mate, take care of yourself, and we'll catch up soon, yeah?
Have a good one, mate. Take care.
And you, man. Take care, man. Bye.